You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome to the Love the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105 Through the Fan in Dallas. Joined as always by former Super Bowl winning NFL scout, Brian Broaddus. He is now the co-host of the G-Bag Nation, 2 to 7 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday on 105 Through the Fan in Dallas. He is also the pre- and post-game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys radio network. Brian Broaddus, how are you today?
Robert, doing well. I just want to say, first off, thank you to everybody that kind of hung out with us last night on Draft 101. Yeah. Had a great time with the folks here in town. Thanks to everybody out there that also picked it up afterwards or were listening to it live. Hopefully you got some good out of it. And I also want to say you did a tremendous job last night, Robert.
Oh, thank you. You
really did. You and Aisha and Zach and Nick. And, you know, Kyle, everybody, this drafting process is not easy. Everybody's got jobs that they have to do. Some of us, like you and I think, have six or seven jobs we're doing right now. But anyway, it's just it's a labor of love. And it's so nice that we're getting closer to this time next week. We'll be right in the middle of one.
So I know I've asked you this a couple different times. So before we today, we're going to do a mock draft where we have some trade options and we can do some different things. And I don't know, depending on how quickly we run through it, maybe we do another one that doesn't have trades or whatever else. But we'll take a look at it. We'll have some time here to go through it. But Brian, when you I've asked you this a couple different times. And so I'll lead off today asking you this again right now, as we are less than a week away. Your gut feeling as to who the first Cowboys pick is, and your gut feeling if that pick will be made at number 24.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that is a difficult question, because it was funny. I was on with Foch Lombardi today, and we were talking about some of the things that I was hearing about the Cowboys situation. And, they're putting together their board right now. Next week will be more about logistics and some mock draft stuff, much like what we're about to do here. I don't think they even have a good idea who they might take. I think we're on the edge of probably first round grades for them. We're thinking right now, what's going to happen ahead for sure? Are there going to be a bunch of offensive players that go before they pick? Is there going to be a defensive player that's the best player on their board? How do we bail out of here if we don't like the player that we're going to be presented with, or players? To me, they're going to get a handle on it. You and I are going to try and get a handle on it. But I think that's where we're at right now. So to say if they're going to make the pick, it's really dependent on what happens, I think, ahead of them and who at that particular time, who is going to come from the back of the board to offer them something. I would, to be honest with you, Bob, I know I would entertain something very simple as moving back two spots and picking up Tampa's fourth, you know, just to buy yourself maybe a little bit of room. You know, there's some picks to be had if you really want to, if you really want to bail this thing out of there. And we did this on the draft show on Thursday, was taking this thing all the way to Kansas City at 32 and picking up a 3 and a 4. Now, that doesn't answer your question right now, but those seem like very inviting things for me, as if there are questions about who is presented to us at 24, maybe getting out of there might be the best thing to do. So I'm open to any thoughts that you have about staying in there and making a pick. And that's what you asked me. You're like, would you think going to, I think a lot of it hinges on how this draft really falls. And I don't think they have a handle on that right now, but maybe next week they will.
You know, I look at this, and as we approach the draft, and we'll go through this in mock draft scenarios here in just a second, I really want to get that fourth round pick back for that they gave up for Trey Lance. And I think that it doesn't even have to be a fourth. I mean, it could be an extra third, whatever else. I want four picks in the first four rounds, however that gets jumbled up. So to me, if you can find somebody who wants to come up, trade up, make a deal with you, I think you should be all over that. In fact, I would be in favor, as I know we've talked about a little bit, I would be in favor of even like I want that to the extent that I'm willing to give up the fifth year option to get the extra capital. I'll go into the beginning of the second round and drop that, because what I'm Brian, is that this fifth year option has just been used by the Cowboys as a means of delaying getting contracts done, is how they use it typically. And so to me, it's like, what is the benefit of that other than just a way to delay doing what you need to do? And so I think ultimately, I think my gut feeling right now is trade back. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Barton's going to be there. If Barton's there, I think they stand in and pick. Trade back and take Kingsley Suamataia from BYU is my best guess right now.
Yeah. Kingsley Suamataia, he's a good player. He really, really is. And he's the one guy that you could look at and you could say, okay, here's a guy that's played left tackle, and you could watch him play. And, you know, there's a lot to really, really like about him. The athletic ability for a man that size is impressive. 24, maybe a little rich for me there, but I think that's where we're kind of at right now. We're on the tail end of these offensive tackles. I don't know if they particularly are a fan of Guyton at that spot, but I think those are a couple of trade back guys. Me personally, and I said it last night in Draft 101, I would love for them to sit there and take, you know, the self, you know, Powers Johnson. I would love for them to be able to do that, but I don't know if the health is going to allow me to do it. You know, so the questions of his health, I'm with you. I would absolutely love Barton to get there, but man, that's going to be such a minefield to have to walk to get him to 24. And I just wish the Oregon Center was a little bit more healthy, you know, going into this thing.
Let's take a look at let's get into this mock draft scenario. And Brian, depending on how quickly we run through this, we can maybe do a couple different scenarios where we talk about things, but I'm going to use the Pro Football Network simulator, which allows trades and everything else. And I think it's generally been the most realistic one. So I just set the thing off, and this is what we got in the 23 picks leading up to Dallas. Number one, the Bears take Caleb Williams. Number two, the Commanders take Jaden Daniels. Three, the Patriots take Drake May. 4, the Cardinals take Marvin Harrison Jr. 5, Chargers pick Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU. 6, the Giants go Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. 7, the Titans go Olu Fashanu from Penn State. 8, the Falcons go Dallas Turner. 9, Jaguars take Roma Dunze. That was a trade in this scenario. 10, the Jets take Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama. 11, J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings. 12, Brock Bowers to the Broncos. 13, Talese Fuaga to the Raiders.
13, huh?
Yep. Troy Fatanu goes 14 to the Saints. 15, the Colts take Jared Verse. 16, you have a trade, and the Commanders take Amarius Mims, tackle from Georgia. 17, the Bears trade back, take Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback from Toledo.
Okay, 18, here come the defensive players. Here comes start the defensive players.
18, the Bengals take J.C. Latham. Okay. 19, the L.A. Rams take UCLA edge Leatu Latu. Number 20, the Pittsburgh Steelers take Illinois defensive tackle Johnny Newton. 21, the Dolphins take wide receiver Brian Thomas. That feels
whoa,
like
whoa. We've kind of gone through two teams that could look at center right here, right?
We have.
Okay.
You got the Eagles and you have the Giants in front of you now. The Giants after a trade. So the Eagles at 22 take wide receiver Xavier Worthy from Texas.
Whoa.
And then the New York Giants with a trade back into the first round there, the New York Giants at 23 take Clemson cornerback Nate Wiggins.
Mm.
So, Brian Broad.
Let's hand that card in for
You're not even wanting to hear what's on the table for I can give you the board and I can give you what trade options are there. Just maybe you just got to move back 2 spots and maybe you don't feel like it's a minefield. You don't even want to hear what's out there for you.
I don't want to trade away from a guy I think is going to be a great player. So no, I'm not interested in your trade thoughts right now.
Because I'll tell you this,
Bobby, we've sweated this. Sweated this thing.
Yeah.
You know, in real life, they sweated from say pick 20 to 24. They sweated that. And, you know, and there's even some conversations in that room. If you see him, you know, the Cowboys have this happen to them quite a bit, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
People trade up ahead of them when they think, remember last year with Buffalo, right?
Yep.
That was last year where they traded up and, you know, Buffalo thought, Dallas is taking a tight end here. You know, the kid from
Dalton Kincaid.
So, and no, but Dallas is probably thinking, dang, you know, Barton's getting close to us. Do we need to trade up here? Do we need to try? And somebody in the room probably said, well, let's sit there and ride this thing and see what happens. And, you know, hey, I think the draft gods were smiling on them on this one.
All right. So we will. I agree. Ultimately, I want to take Graham Barton. I was curious.
Who are you trying to entice me with?
No, nobody had any the trade offers that you had in front of you. The only one that would be of interest, and it was not a total. I don't know that the value would have been there. It would have been you.
Did you get your four back?
No, but you trade 24 and 87 to the Cardinals for 27 and 66. So then you'd have to get through the Cardinals, Packers, Bucks to have Barton there too. But we're gonna go Graham Barton because I think Graham Barton is the best player. So we're turning in the card. Graham Barton, center from Duke, and you feel pretty good about that pick.
We're off, and you know I have the Oregon center higher, but I don't think the medical is going to allow me to take him.
All right, so we go to we go down to pick 56 now, Brian, and it's funny, one pick ahead of you. I guess it's a medical thing. Jackson Powers Johnson goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers as a center at 55.
There you go.
Some other names that came off the board in the process, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyler Newbin, you know, Cooper DeJean, Cooper Beebe. These are just some of the names that came off the board here. Tyler Guyton in the time since your last pick. So the Cowboys get on the board at 56 and What position group are you looking at here, Brian? We've taken a center already. Are you double dipping at offensive line? Are you wanting to see what's there at running back? Do you want to see what's there at linebacker? What are you looking at position wise right now?
Lost a healthy linebacker with Cooper that I really liked. I'm a huge fan of Peyton Wilson from North Carolina State, the linebacker.
He's there.
On my stack, I would have Peyton Wilson above both the running backs, Brooks from Texas, Benson from Florida State.
Benson is gone. Brooks is there.
I'll take Peyton Wilson, the linebacker. I don't know how you feel about that. I my stack has him above Benson then in that case as well. So I would take Peyton Wilson there.
Is there any position group that you'd be interested? We've got a couple other, like we've got, I know edge is not necessarily the primary need, but you do have Brandon Dorlus on the board, Marshawn Neal, Western Michigan. You've got a couple there. If you look over on the trade values, you don't have offers that you currently have in the books are not necessarily great because you're going to have to jump back a ways. Dallas gives up 56 and 174 to Cincinnati for 80 and next year's two. And then Cleveland would take pick 56 in exchange for pick 85 and then next year's third and next year's fourth. So you don't get any of that capital back this year.
In my world, I would take either Benson or Wilson. And again, I have Wilson higher than Benson. And I think that to me, for them to bring him in to talk about it, probably the injuries, Jim Maurer, the trainer, I'm sure that he was probably alerted everybody in the front office with the difficulties you're dealing with here. This guy, I can't pass on this player. I just see two. I mentioned the name Luke Kuechly, and I know people freak out when I say this, but Luke Kuechly at Boston College, the instincts, the downhill player, the toughness, the tackling ability, the ability to play coverage. I think Peyton Wilson's got all these things.
I really like Peyton Wilson, and so I'm not gonna put up too much of a fight if that's who you want to take.
Well, okay, listen, we're doing this together.
Yeah. No,
I took the Duke center.
No, I would have taken him too.
Who would you like to take here?
It's tough because I think you are looking at running back or linebacker, and the two highest graded players that I have left are both guys that are injured. It's Peyton Wilson and it's Jonathan Brooks. And so either way, I'm looking at an injury. I would say that
Brooks is gone, right? You got Brooks is gone.
No, Jonathan. Right? No, Brooks is there. Trey Benson is gone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that confused.
So Brooks is there. Benson is gone. So you have Brooks and Wilson.
Okay.
And let me just say real quick, I want to throw this in there. Double-digit surgery since his senior year of high school, Peyton Wilson. The other thing we have to consider, he is 24 years old. Yep. He's an older player already. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we haven't talked about a lot, it may be something.
So was Terrence Newman?
Yes. He was actually 25. He was even older. In 2019, again, another question, could be young, something you'd have to answer, though. He was arrested on misdemeanor counts of alcohol possession, fraudulent ID, injury to personal property, resisting an officer after he ran from police, was struck by a vehicle and hit under a parked car. So it's just a one-time thing, but I'm saying you're looking at age, injury, and then there is some, at least something you got to answer about character, even if you feel comfortable with it, it's there. So a lot to consider there. Brooks, he's got the knee. That's something that you're going to have to wonder about. Brooks is
the character's great.
Character's off the chart. Brooks is a top character guy, and he is a true three down back.
Hand in the card, Brooks.
Are you sure you want to go Brooks? Here, let me tell you what.
I'm not going to win. I'm not going to win every battle. I'm not going to win every battle.
All right.
I'm not going to hand in the card for Brooks.
Jonathan Brooks.
And then when we circle back next year, we'll see who helped team the most.
There we go. Jonathan Brooks, running back, Texas. I think, to be honest, if the Cowboys in real life came away with Graham Barton and Jonathan Brooks with their first two picks, I think they're thrilled.
Super happy.
Thrilled with that scenario. All right. Really quickly, before we go to the third round selection here, I need to remind you that you are listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, Brian, we have two picks down. Graham Barton, center from Duke. Jonathan Brooks, running back from Texas. If that's a reality for the Cowboys, you know, through two rounds next week,
thumbs up.
Everybody's really happy with it.
I'm happy.
To take a look at what would have been waiting for you in the third round at running back, still on the board, Blake Corum, Bucky Irving, Audric Estime, Jalen Wright, Ray Davis, Marshawn Lloyd, all these guys are still on the board at running back in the third round. Linebacker is the primary need now. And here are some of the linebackers that went since Dallas's last pick, Brian. You have lost Peyton Wilson, pick 62, to the Baltimore Ravens. That's a Ravens pick right there. 64, Trevon Wallace goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. 66, you went on, there was a run. 66, Junior Colson, linebacker, Michigan, goes to the Cardinals. And you slide down the board a little bit further. And then just a couple picks before Dallas, pick 83, the Los Angeles Rams take Cedric Gray, linebacker from North Carolina. So the linebackers that you're staring at here, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., you've got Tommy Eichenberg on the board here. Where did you have Jordan McGee graded from Temple?
I believe it was a fourth round pick for me. Let me look at my stack. McGee here. I had Jordan McGee at player 137, Bobby.
I have Jordan McGee top of the fourth round. The highest graded linebacker I have left is Tommy Eichenberg, who is on the list here.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't have a problem with Tommy Eichenberg. And I think the draft gods might have thrown us a bone here, Bobby, to be honest with you, because I got Tommy Eichenberg as my 59th best player on my board. So to me, if we were to go linebacker here, Eichenberg makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. There you go. Run, hit, physical linebacker, makes plays all over the field. You can attack the pocket when he's called on to blitz and things like that. We could be doing far, far, far worse without a linebacker. But this guy right here in the third round, and you always hear the buzzword, oh, we've got tremendous value here. This would be a second round guy on my board that you're picking in the third round. So I would argue for this guy over, say, Trotter. If it was Trotter's dad, I would probably take Trotter's dad in this particular instance. But Tommy Eichenberg does a lot for me right now as a linebacker.
Yeah, I have Eichenberg graded in the third round. He's the highest linebacker I've left. He was my fifth linebacker. Right after that, Jordan McGee is my sixth, and he's at the top of the fourth. And then behind that is Jeremiah Trotter. So I like Eichenberg. Are you interested? Because now we're getting to the point where
What wide receivers on the board?
Let's take a look at wide receiver. Wide receiver right now. Oh, Ricky Pearsall is on the board, Brian. You've also got Jalen McMillan, Devontae Walker from North Carolina. Jermaine Burton from Alabama. So, I mean, you've got some options there. Would you like to at least, I don't know if they'll take it. We don't have any trade offers in here. Would you like me to at least propose to the Bengals? They're at 97 and they have 115. Should I just see if they would take 87?
You want to try and get this fourth back?
Yeah, because this is my last chance to get the fourth back.
Guy, you're going to talk me into trading away from a second-round player and one of my favorite wide receivers in the draft to get a fourth-round pick.
What if I do this? What if I throw you this? The Cowboys haven't had much. Let's go way outside the box. The Cowboys have not had a lot of success with second-round
picks. I'm really sorry to hate you right now.
Listen. They haven't had
trade it. Trade it. See what happens. For the sake of trading it, see what happens.
But we'll see if they – I don't even know that they'll accept it, but 87 for 97 and 115. We'll see what the Bengals say here. We're going to propose it. It was rejected. So you don't have to worry about that, Brian. But if you do want to get that fourth back, knowing you have all the comp picks next year and the second round hasn't necessarily been a big hit for you, would you entertain a future second to get a fourth?
They did that the last year, right, to get the corner from Southern Miss.
They did it as a round ahead. It's not typically a two-round jump. Yeah, that's pretty significant. Yeah. But you're trying to convince somebody to, hey, come here. So, I mean, you could go look at top of the fourth round, Panthers, Seahawks, Patriots, Cardinals, Titans, Chargers. You could reach out to one of them and just say, you know, in fact, Chargers have 105 and 110. You could say, hey.
That's the team I was looking at.
So, I mean, do you want to try before we make this pick in the third round? Do we want to see if we can get a fourth and trade next year's three?
Next year's three makes a lot more sense. But you know what? Man, because Pearsall's on the board, Eichenberg's on the board.
I think you could get Pearsall here at 87, and then I think you could get Eichenberg potentially to fall to that Chargers pick in the third or in the fourth. If you were to be able to get it,
trade it. Let's see what happens.
All right. We're going to try third in 2025 for one.
And you were reckless as hell doing this.
Let's see what it get. It was rejected. All right. So we're going to stand in. Need is the biggest thing here. So as much as you like Pearsall, are you saying we need to go Eichenberg here?
Are you going to try and convince me? You think Eichenberg is a fourth round player?
No. I have Eichenberg in the third. Eichenberg is in the third. McGee is in the
fourth. Who do you have higher between Eichenberg and Pearsall?
Pearsall, definitely. I really like Ricky Pearsall,
pick Pearsall.
The value there. All right, we're gonna go.
I mean, it's against my board, but picking.
Okay, let's go, Ricky Pearsall. All right, we're just throwing caution to the wind. All right, the board is now we're in no man's land. We're not picking for a while, Brian. We got three
damn good players.
We made
our team better. We have made our team better. We don't have a fourth round pick, but we're making our team better.
And we have gotten all the way through. We got all the way through.
We're at 171 now.
174. And the NFL did not like Tommy Eichenberg as much as we did, because Tommy Eichenberg went 173 to the Chiefs.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, we were looking at, so now we have to look and see what's on the board with linebacker, right?
Okay. Let me ask you a question real quick, Bobby. If you see Eichenberg coming down the board like that, instead of giving a two or a three, maybe next year's four.
It's something that, like, you could see if somebody would have entertained it. I mean, the pick's already been made now. So I know.
But if you saw him coming down the board, since you were interested in moving a two or three.
Well, here's the thing. You know. Would you be willing? Because here's what I'll tell you. Here, let me see my linebacker grades really quickly here. So some of the linebackers that are still on the board here, you have Steel Chambers at Ohio State. John Trey Hunter from Georgia State is there. You still have Jordan McGee from Temple.
I like Jordan. I like Jordan McGee more than I like Hunter.
Darius Masao from UCLA is on the board.
I like him better than him too.
You like McGee better than them?
Yeah.
I do too. McGee is my top linebacker, and that's fourth round. We're sitting here in the fifth, yeah. So that's value to me. I don't know about you. If you want to look at other positions, we can. I mean,
I have McGee as player 137 on my board or my stack. So yeah, like him better than him. I like him better than like a guy like Curtis Jacobs from, I don't know, Penn State. I don't know if he's still on the board there. But yeah, we're getting down to, like I said, stack this thing through 143. And Jordan McGee is player 137 on my board. So if he's here for an opportunity for us to, I might sure give him that consideration.
Yeah, I think that, and I'm just kind of clicking around trying to see if there's a blinking light that makes a lot of sense as just like, you know, a huge value that's still on the board. I think if you look at defense, some of the names that are here, Jaden Crumdy from Mississippi State is there.
Good, not a bad tackle.
No, you've got Fabian Lovett from Florida State is still there. Edge rusher Xavier Thomas from Clemson. Zion Tupelo Fetui, he's on the board. Miles Cole at Texas Tech. Gabriel Murphy, UCLA. So, I mean, those are some of the names.
But Gabe Murphy's a rusher.
There's a collection of rushers there, though. He might be able to get to you at 216. Linebacker, it's a little touch and go if McGee could get there.
Let's go with McGee here if we can.
All right, we're going to go Jordan McGee from Temple. Let's see what comes down to us now. All right, so we feel good about this draft so far, right, Brian? Graham Barton from Duke, Jonathan Brooks from Texas, Ricky Pearsall, Jordan McGee.
Yeah.
I think this is good.
McGee's just a little bit, you know, he's a converted quarterback, in, you know, college wide receiver to, you know, what he is currently, you know, probably a little small weight wise, but man, the guy is super, super tough. So fifth round, I have no problem with this.
When we look at the board here now, we're not looking for positions this late in the draft, right, Brian? At six, we're looking
for traits.
Traits are like, what's the value if somebody's really just kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, so some of the names that I'm seeing that might stand out here. Let's click over to, we'll just go down the list. Devin Leary is there at quarterback. Yep. John Rhys Plumlee from UCF. That's another quarterback.
Really good athlete.
Running back. It doesn't look like there's a huge value there. Wide receiver. No, there was already one picked there. But, I mean, Anthony Gould from Oregon State is still there. Weaver from Colorado. So a couple names there. Tight end, not a lot going on at tight end right here. Offensive tackle, got Frank Crum at Wyoming. Walter Rouse from Oklahoma.
Okay, let's talk about Walter Rouse then, if we could, for just a minute, yeah. Please.
Yep.
Okay, and I'll try and sell you on Walter Rouse here from Oklahoma. And if I could just pull my notes up real quick about him. We're in the sixth round, right?
Yep.
Is what we're looking at right now.
Yep.
I'll say this about Walter Rouse. And again, I'm sorry I'm going in slow motion here with my notes, but
no, you're good.
Here we go. He's a starter at left tackle for the Sooners. And it really for one season, he was a transfer from Stanford. And I think the guy's got some really good play strength. He's 6'6", he's 313. He's got football intelligence, the IQ very good. When you see them, you know, with the twist stunts, things where he has to pick things up. Where he does struggle some is in with his footwork and his knee bend. He plays in a two-point stance majority of the game. He's got good size for the position. He's got excellent arm length. He's a much better pass blocker than he is kind of a run blocker. He tends to, you know, wind up and then strike instead of the short punches. But when he does run block, his pad level will get a little too high and he'll struggle to generate power. But as a pass blocker, he's got a really strong answer. The long arms keep the defenders off his body. He can redirect guys past the quarterback. He's really athletic to stay on his feet. He's only allowed one sack in 770 snaps played for Oklahoma. And I thought he was a much better player at Oklahoma than he was for the Stanford Cardinals. So, if we're talking about going after a guy here that's got some traits to him, I would argue for Walter Rouse at 6'6", 313 pounds as a potential tackle prospect.
I don't hate Walter Rouse as a player here at all. Let me just look. I'll throw out some defensive tackle names just for you. If any of them capture your ear. Jaden Crumdy is still there. Fabian Lovett is still there. I'm trying to see if there's any of these other defensive tackles that might stand out. That looks to be about it for me. Edge rushers, Gabriel Murphy is still there from UCLA.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's kind of the group that you're looking at here. Do any of those intrigue you more than what you might be getting with Walter Rouse?
Well, I tell you, it's hard to deal with, you know, going past an offensive lineman, for sure. You know, that's something, man, I just don't want to do. Who was the edge? You said it was
Gabriel Murphy, UCLA.
Murphy. Okay. He's a transfer from North Texas, believe it or not. And he might be a little undersized. I got him at 6'2", 247. But his strength and his hand use is really impressive. The coaches moved him up and down the line of scrimmage to kind of find a spot for him to rush. He made a play as a three technique with a really good quick inside move, beat the guard and the tackle, and they made a tackle behind the line of scrimmage. He's got a really good first step. He plays with explosiveness. He can be disruptive in the running game as a pass rusher. I've seen him take on double teams. I've seen him split them in order to get to the ball. He's got upper body power. He's got some snap to his game. You can see some flexibility to bend the edge. You see him dip, get underneath the tackle. I think his hands and his feet work together. His pursuit skills in order to stay connected to the action, I think, is really, really good. He can run from the backside. There's a lot of things to like about this guy. I never saw him really drop as a linebacker, so I think it would be hard to project him that way. But I know he could rush the pass, and I know he could play run defense. So for me, it would come down to if you'd like Murphy as an undersized edge or Rouse that's 6'6", 313 playing tackle for you, in my opinion.
I have Murphy graded higher, but I also recognize the value of Rouse. So I could go either way here, Brian. I'm going to give you the call here because I could go either way.
You need an edge or two. Let's take Murphy here.
All right. We're going to take Gabriel Murphy, edge rusher from UCLA. I think that is a really good pick. Now, we got two more picks to go here. Before we wrap things up, I need to tell you guys, though, that you are listening to the Love of the Star podcast. The Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, Brian, we get to pick 233. Let me recap for you what we've done so far. Graham Barton, center at Duke. Jonathan Brooks, running back from Texas. Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver from Florida.
Thank you for allowing me to do that one.
I was happy to. Jordan McGee, linebacker from Temple. Gabriel Murphy, edge rusher from UCLA. So,
pretty happy right now what we're doing, man.
I'm happy.
Let's knock this seventh round out.
Let's do it. Let's okay, go. So let's go over to the tackles, see if Walter Rouse is still around. I mean, we were just curious about Rouse. What do you think of Mark Perry, the safety at TCU? Have you watched him?
No, I haven't seen him.
Bob. Perry Tester. What about Jalen Simpson, safety at Auburn?
That's an interesting one. I don't think I'd have him as high as Rouse, but if you have a good feeling for one of these safeties, let's go. Because tell me, give me why you have a feeling for these, the TCU kid or the Auburn kid.
I think in general, Simpson was not a guy that I loved, but I did have him in the fifth round. So for me, okay. I look at Jalen Simpson as a name here that I'm interested in. I mean, you're again talking about kind of an undersized guy, though. That is a thinly built safety. Mark Perry to me is like, he's the typical, like, traditional safety build with like incredible athleticism. He is 6 feet tall, 211 pounds. He's got like 4.4 type of speed. He's somebody who is used in coverage. He's used in run support. He's not likely to be like, it's not like a box defender is his future at all, but he's willing. He shows a willingness in the run game. At times he's
interchangeable.
Yes, he is. Mark Perry okay. is interchangeable. So I do like that aspect of it. I'm trying to see if there's any of the other safeties here have slid down the board at all.
Perry's TCU said, right?
Perry's TCU. Tyler Owens from Texas Tech is there.
Okay. Do you think Perry would be a, our TCU kid, Dallas State guy, maybe? Do you think we maybe brought him in, looked at him, something like that?
Yeah. And I mean, I know they had eyes on him when he was out there doing the Big 12 combine. So I know okay. they've gotten a chance to see him up close. So Mark Perry is a name there. I'm trying to see if corners, if there are any that have gone down the board at all that we might have an interest in. A lot of directional schools here, Brian.
Yeah.
Cornerback. Yeah. These cornerbacks, I think we're pretty tapped out there. You look at defensive tackle, you know, your Fabian Lovett is still there. So
see
is
what
Crumdy, Lovett, Rouse, Perry. I mean, you have not done anything at defensive tackle yet, and you lost four defensive linemen this offseason.
Crumdy to be more like a three, though, right? I mean,
yeah. Yeah. I think so. But I view Lovett as a one.
Talk to me about his ability as a one.
Okay, let me pull up my notes on Lovett really quickly. If I can get them up here. Because Crumdy, the biggest problem we've run into this entire time is that it feels like there's not a... There's defensive tackles here that you like, but there's none of these that are like true one technique type right. of defensive tackles. And that's the biggest problem. So to me, I think that what you see with him... Big body. I think that the way that the talent and the technique to, you know, beat double teams, a guy who can take on blocks, he plays with really heavy hands. He's a big guy, 6'4", 314 pounds, started at Mississippi State. He's a guy who is high motor, guy who hits with a quick punch. To me, there's a lot to really like about it. It's not a lot of great production for him at Florida State. That's one of the problems. I think that at times,
and they were good on defense. So God damn it. Yeah. Good on defense.
Yeah. No, he's somebody who I think he can step in immediately and be a rotational player as a run stopper, like on a defensive line. And the fact that you need rotational players along the defensive line, this is to me a guy who is tough. He's big. He plays with, you know, really strong hands. And I think that this is somebody who you're talking about this range, I could be convinced to go for here. But I also think that there's a lot of guys that catch my eye here that I'm still interested in. I would be, you know, interested in Walter Rouse still. And you know, we've talked about the safeties that are here. So we've got a couple different names here that we can consider. Is there one in particular yeah. that stands out for you, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I gave you my report on Rouse. Crumdy is an interesting guy from Mississippi State. He's 6'4", he's 301. So he's not a traditional, like a big body one technique guy. But man, he's a little bit of an older guy. He'll be 24 years old when the season starts. He played a ton of games for Mississippi State. But he's a high motor, high effort guy. He chases the ball. He's quick to locate. He's got good body control. He's got good balance for the position. You don't see him get knocked off course. He plays well on the move, spin moves, speed, punch, control. you could see him shock the blocker with his punch, the physical tools to line up, kind of played as a one, played more as a three, but he'll lock out the blocker, he'll shed him, and then he can be disruptive in the way he gets up the field. So I would fight for this guy, but I don't know if I'd fight for him more than the guy that you had, the Florida State guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds really interesting to me, and Ross sounds interesting to me. So I would say we probably need to go for the one technique here if it was me.
All right. Let's I'm in favor. I like Lovett from Florida State. And so we're talking about traits here at 233. So we're gonna go Faith Lovett, defensive tackle from Florida State. You got your defensive tackle, Brian. Boom, there you go. All right. Now we've gotten all the way down to pick 244. And I imagine a lot of these guys we're still interested in are gonna be on the board here, Brian. Guys that we've talked a lot about. So let's look here. You do still have Walter Rouse. You still have Devin.
Is something wrong with Walter Rouse? Is something medically wrong with him? We don't know.
No, I think that there's a sense, like for instance, just to try and get some outside opinion, I think Dane had Rouse around like the sixth. Okay. And so, sitting here where we are, it's maybe not totally unusual that he would have slipped down here. I'm trying to see really quickly. I want to see where Lance Zierlein put him. Lance Zierlein put him in the sixth. So, this could be around the range for him. But Rouse, Devin Leary is there as the quarterback if you want to, take a Hail Mary. We still got a couple of those safeties there. So, it just comes down to what would you like. We've sat here and talked about Rouse for 2-3 picks now.
Pick the tackle. Let's go.
I think that's a really strong selection. Yeah. So we're going to go Walter Rouse here. Brian, we have finished our draft and we come away with it stunningly. Not a single defensive player picked in the first three rounds for the Dallas Cowboys. So it goes Graham Barton, center from Duke, Jonathan Brooks, running back, Texas, Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver, Florida, Jordan McGee, linebacker, Temple, Gabriel Murphy, edge rusher from UCLA, Fabian Lovett, defensive tackle, Florida State, and Walter Rouse, offensive tackle, Oklahoma. Brian, you come away from that draft if you're the Cowboys, and how do you feel?
Well, I tell you what, I really, I love Pearsall for a player. I think he did a really fine job of getting the back. The question about the back is going to be if, he's going to have to work with Britt Brown. He's likely going to be on the PUP list to start. Can they get him ready for opening day? Dr. Cooper did the surgery on him, so they'll have an idea of the timetable there. I really do. I think the draft gods were smiling on you for the Graham Barton pick. I was encouraged by the fact that we couldn't really move back very much. It seemed like that we were pretty stuck with what we were doing pick-wise. I really like our players. I'm excited to see how the Florida State one technique works out. But for us to get Rouse, who sixth round type of a player, to get him in the seventh round, fifth, sixth round player, I'm willing to take a flyer on a guy like that, and I think we did. So overall, though, pretty happy with how it shook out, especially the first three picks, and then. We didn't have a four. Maybe you can find a way to get a next year's, because you're going to have some compensatories. We trade, get back in this thing. But overall, I think that we're pretty true to ourselves. We had some discussions, some difficult decisions, but we're able to make them work.
You know what? I'm going to just quickly here, and in our last couple of minutes, I'm going to just see. I'm not going to go through a full draft again, but I'm just going to restart. See if I can trade back with the first pick. And I just want to see what that looks like really quickly. So in this instance, we're going to go four rounds and we'll set it up. So kick off the draft, goes down the board. You get to Dallas's pick here at 24. And they've still got same scenario. They've got Barton, Jackson Powers, Johnson. These guys are here. So I'm going to look at these trade offers. Man, they are not great. You're talking about going back to 51 or 84. Mm. Going back to the Rams, it's a jump, but going back to the Rams for 52, 83, 99, and their 2025 second, which is somewhat interesting, but probably not what you want to do. I'm going to propose a trade here then. Let's go back to Kansas City, for instance.
Yeah, I think Kansas City, you could pick up a 3 and a 4 from that. On the Cowboys trade chart, you can.
Let's try. This trade gets a little stingy on this one, but we'll try. Yeah, they rejected that. Let me see if I can just get the third out of them, just for the sake of trying to pick up extra capital here. So we go 32 and then try to take 95. Nope, they're not going for it. So what I'm going to do, Brian, I'm going to take the trade offer, the weird one from the Rams, because we're just doing this as an exercise.
See who we draft? Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
See how this looks. So we're going to accept it. That's tough because you're going to wait a long time now. But we get down to pick 52 now. And let's see, do you have any centers on the board? Highest center is Van Praan. Tackles are Rosengarten, Omegaji from Yale. Those are kind of the ones that you're looking at here. We might have screwed ourselves here, Brian, a little bit by dropping down that far.
I do like Rosengarten, though.
You do have Edrin Cooper there at 52.
Pick him.
Okay, we're going to pick Edrin Cooper just for this quick exercise. We're going to get down to the next pick. Offense, you've got Rosengarten still. You've got Van Praan, if you wanted to go that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Van Praan, okay. We're going to go Van Praan from Georgia. That way we get our center. So we're going to go down to pick 87 now. What do we have here? We've got running back, Blake Corum's on the board, Audric Estime, Jalen Wright, Ray Davis. Any of those?
Pick Wright.
Okay, we're going to go Jalen Wright from Tennessee, the running back. You take him.
I like this draft maybe better than the first one.
We get down to pick 87 because you just picked 83. So we get down to pick 87.
Yeah.
Javon Bullard is on the board. Let's see.
What safety, right?
Yeah, we've got a linebacker, a center, and a running back. So, that kind of covers everything. We've got Javon Bullard, the safety, is on the board.
Wow.
Omegaji is still there. Dominic Tony from Kansas. I mean, you've got some names here. McKinley.
And you could put McKinley.
McKinley Jackson. Jaden Hicks is still there from Washington State.
God dang it.
Kalen King is there from Penn State. You got some names there, Brian.
You do. This is interesting.
Wide receivers, you got Jermaine Burton is on the board. Malik Washington, Jamari Crash.
Malik Washington, Virginia, was a good player. Oh, man, I don't want to reach that defensive tackle, I think, from A&M is, you know, that's when you kind of trade back.
Andre Sweat is still there, too. Sweat is still there.
Pick him.
All right, let's pick Sweat because we're not worried about any of the character stuff right here. All right, and you get
we're in the third round, right?
Yeah, pick 99. So you've already picked Edrin Cooper, Van Praan, Jalen Wright, Tavondre Sweat. Some of the other names that are still on the board for you. Karan Omegaji from Yale is there. You've got Jaden Hicks is still there, the safety from Washington State. I mean those are some good players just right there. Malik Washington is still there. Jared Wiley, the tight end from TCU. So I mean you've got some players. Javon Baker from UCF. Who would you like to go with for this last pick? Because I only said it as a 4-round draft. I Blake Fisher and Jaden Hicks are there.
Blake Fisher, that's our guy.
Tackle from Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. Notre Dame, but he's a right tackle only, I believe.
Yep.
Omegaji plays left tackle. Man, do you trust the guy from Yale, though?
I think Jaden Hicks is really good.
Take Jaden Hicks.
All right, we're going to take Jaden Hicks. So, I mean,
that's a hell of a draft.
You get out of the first round, but you come away with Edrin Cooper, Van Praan, Jalen Wright, Tavondre Sweat, and Jaden Hicks, and a second round pick next year from the Rams.
Man, you just blew my mind.
If you could get them to do that, that'd be great.
If the board were to fall that way, going all the way to 51, my gosh. That's crazy, Bob.
I know. I think Jaden Hicks being at 99 is a little unrealistic.
Yeah.
Cooper maybe could slide to 52. Van Praan at 56, I think, is definitely in play. 83, yeah. Jalen Wright is in play. And we're hearing that Andre Sweat could slide because of some characters and stuff like that. So not a bad draft. That's also one that we've got a chance to consider. And so I'll save that one too. So we'll share that later. But Brian, I think we came away with a couple of good draft classes, and we can.
Why did I think the trade back was better than the first draft?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, because the first draft, yeah, the first 3 days you got Barton, yeah, Jonathan Brooks, and Ricky Pearsall. That's still a good collection.
That's still a good draft, yeah.
So, I mean, either way, I think you're going to find some good players in this draft because the depth is going to be so good.
Yeah. I like it.
So there we are. All right. That does it for us here today on the Love the Star podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. For Brian Broaddus, I'm Bobby Belt. We will talk to you guys again later.